Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah. One more thing when it comes to this income tax relief proposal that has the support of Governor Greg Gianforte. You know, yesterday we were talking with Evelyn Pyburn about the fact that, you know, Montana still, even after the tax cuts of 2021 and the tax cuts of 2023, Montana still has the highest income taxes in the Rocky Mountain West. And so this is the legislative session to fix it. Here we go. This was something I had on X. I'm surprised I forgot to mention it yesterday. Donald Trump Jr. endorsing Senate Bill 323 in the Montana State Senate. That is the governor's income tax proposal to cut income taxes for Montanans at every income level and deliver the largest tax cut in state history. Look, if the Republicans have got to get this done, why would you fumble the football when you've got an opportunity to get something like this done right now? But anyway, back to Donald Trump Jr. Don Jr. said this: Governor Gianforte pushing for the largest income tax cut in Montana history, just like my father's historic tax cuts. Montana leading the way with conservative Trump-style tax policies. Get it done. And then he added the Make America Great Again hashtag. I just, why can't these Republican state senators and these Republican representatives in the House rally around this proposal, unite around this proposal? Like I sounded off in the 6 o'clock hour, the so-called Republican income tax relief bill that's advancing in the state Senate right now is not a Republican bill. It's not a conservative bill. It's class warfare. Why would you fumble the football at a time like this? You don't know what's going to happen with legislative elections in the years that follow. So take advantage of the opportunity right now to do the right thing. Plus, you're sitting on a big budget surplus that we, the people, paid. You took too much of our money. It's time to give it back at every bracket, every income level. Some good news, though, that is moving in the state Senate right now. I got a press release here from the Republican Senate majority. The Senate advanced legislation on Monday to provide Montanans a property tax rebate of up to $400 on their primary residence. You know, we got property tax rebates as a result of the last legislative session. Obviously, what's really needed is property tax reductions, property tax relief. That, of course, is still moving forward in the legislature. But, hey, not only do we need property tax relief and property tax reductions for future property taxes, we need relief from the property taxes we just got hit with. And so that's what Senate Bill 434, sponsored by Senator Wiley Gault out of Martinsdale, Montana. It sounds like that's what that would deliver. So SB 434, this is a bill that would provide for property tax rebates this time around as well. Just passed unanimously out of the State Senate Taxation Committee on Friday and then made it through second reading in the Senate yesterday.
Bullet points. I'm Evan Brown. Buying a firearm in Washington State could soon be more expensive with what you pay going to the state's coffers. A bill is making its way through the Washington State Legislature that is already getting lots of praise from the state's attorney general. It is a proposed law that would add the requirement of a purchasing permit when seeking to buy a gun. That permit application and processing fee could be as high as $200, according to some sources, and it could cost the applicant further if they're made to retake a firearm safety course. While its proponents say it will make children safer, the bill's opponents say it could add an additional 30 days of processing time by the state to Washington's existing 10-day wait period. They plan to fight it, saying it can't pass the U.S. Supreme Court's history and tradition test. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
We'll be right back. It's April 1st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's April Fool's Day, and some historians claim it dates back to 1582 when France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, as called by the Council of Trent in 1563. Some didn't get the news that recognized the start of the new year had moved to January 1st, and those who still celebrated became the butt of jokes and hoaxes. Also on this day, in 1976, Apple Incorporated was founded by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne. It would later be known for several defining products like the Macintosh, the iPod, the iPhone, and the iPad. In 1963, soap opera General Hospital premiered, the longest-running serial program produced in Hollywood.
I love Willa Baldwin.
Take thee, Luke.
Launching the famed fictional couple Luke and Laura into soap opera history. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I got to go back to something. Something we covered 1 hour ago in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Because another part of this story just caught my eye. Okay, so this was the headline from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. And hat tip to Kendall Cotton with the Frontier Institute for flagging this story on X. County recommends 10% raises for elected officials, citing retention concerns. Now, that's the part that I just started thinking about here once again. So 1 hour ago, we were talking about this story. Gallatin County, the Democrat Gallatin County commissioners, they just recommended that they themselves get a 10% raise for all elected officials. So the Gallatin County commissioners. Now, you read the first paragraph in this story. Gallatin County's Compensation Committee has recommended a 10% raise for all elected officials. Now, you might hear that first sentence of the story and say to yourself, oh, well, it was the Compensation Committee that recommended that the Gallatin County commissioners get a pay raise, 10% pay raise, after they voted themselves to get a pay raise last year, the year before, and the year before that. But the Democrat Gallatin County commissioners, you know, some of you have gotten priced out of your home, you've gotten taxed out of your home, but the Gallatin County commissioners deserve more of your money. But here's where it gets really rich. Guess who serves on the compensation committee? Ding, 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 ding. The Gallatin County commissioners who just voted to give themselves a 10% pay raise. They're on the compensation committee. So I was joking with Michael Foth. I said, hey, you and I need to start a compensation committee for the radio station. And our compensation committee is going to meet later today. And we're going to advance our own pay raise. That's brilliant. Imagine if the private sector worked the way the public sector worked. Yeah, I know it wouldn't work. But this is the other part that I just started thinking about here. Let me read the headline one more time. County recommends 10% raises for elected officials, citing retention concerns. Democrat Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown. He's a big-time Democrat. You want to hear all the Democrat standard talking points spewed on X? Just go to Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown, right? Like, he was in student government at the University of Montana. Believe me, when I was a student government president at the University of Montana, and I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just saying it like it is. People like Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown were a dime a dozen in the student government at the University of Montana. Just standard Democrat Party talking points, woke, you name it, right? And that's so he says the aspiration of 10% is something that I support, and I'm philosophically aligned with that. So he is philosophically aligned with giving himself a 10% raise. Wow, that's a philosophical, tough one to rally around there, giving yourself a 10% raise. I'd be philosophically aligned behind giving myself a 10% raise as well. But, God, with the people's money, really? But this is the other part that we didn't cover in the 6 o'clock hour, citing retention concerns. So the Democrat Gallatin County commissioners are saying, well, look, if we don't give ourselves a 10% raise, there's going to be retention problems. There is going to be retention problems if we don't give ourselves. What they're saying is, if we don't give ourselves a 10% raise, we're not going to run for re-election. Then don't run for re-election. Let somebody else do the job. But this just, again, this just shows you what happened. That Gallatin County, which used to be conservative, which used to be Republican dominated, and pre-COVID-19, you had all these L.A. liberals, you had all these San Francisco liberals, you had the latte liberals from Seattle move into Gallatin County and made it a blue county. And this is what you have. And this is what happens. And so, but... And you got a D behind your name, basically, and you're gonna win the election. Even if you don't have the D behind your name, I mean, it's become the Democrat stronghold. How embarrassing that is for Gallatin County. All right, let's see. And why can't they trim the fat out of the Gallatin County budget? Right, but they keep piling the fat on for their own pay raise, while they take the money out of your pocket in order to do so. You guys know where I'm going with this. Of course you know where I'm going with this. Billings' last diet. If you need to trim the fat, maybe some of these elected officials don't want to trim the fat in the government budgets, but if you need to trim the fat and you want to maintain your muscle mass, which is really the way to go, you've got to get a hold of our friends at Billings' Last Diet. You can live in Gallatin County, you can live in Silver Bow, you can live anywhere in the country for that matter, but our friends at Billings Last Diet, they now have a remote option available. So you've heard a ton of our Billings listeners over the years that have been, you know, bragging about how much weight they lost using Billings Last Diet, but now you're hearing from our Bozeman listeners. You're hearing from our listeners all the way out on the Mondakistan border because they've got a remote option available now. Give them a call, 406-294-6751, or check out BillingsLastDiet.com. Look, even if you're using things like Ozempic or those GLP-1s, or maybe especially if you're using those, you're still going to want to go to Billings Last Diet so that your body is getting the nutrition and the protein that it needs.
Securing America.
Admiral Bill Houston, the director of the Navy's Nuclear Propulsion Program, was a guest of the Navy's SITREP discussion series Monday, where much of the conversation was focused on America's fleet of submarines. Admiral Houston says there's been a big change since the 90s, when no new subs were built for 6 years.
We are right now building more submarines in terms of tonnage than we did at the height of the Cold War. And that mountain of submarines we need to construct is only going up.
Admiral Houston also described why our subs are so important to national security, citing the nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarines, SSBNs, as an example.
In less than 1 hour, they can deliver more firepower than was delivered in all of World War II.
The Admiral adding,
if we ever go to combat, it's not going to be a fair fight, and that's just the way I want it, because we do have the best people and the best platforms.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There are calls by some liberals to oust Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer as the top Democrat in the Senate. There's anger at Schumer for helping break a filibuster on the GOP spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. Removing Schumer or any Senate leader is mostly unprecedented. Unlike the Speaker of the House, the full Senate doesn't elect its leaders. Whomever is the majority or minority leader is up to the Senate Republican Conference and the Senate Democratic Caucus. The only model close to where the Senate removed one of its leaders came in late 2002. Former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott spoke at the 100th birthday party for late South Carolina Senator Strom Thurmond. At the party, Lott suggested that the country may have been better off had it elected Thurmond president in the 1940s. Thurmond ran as a segregationist, and support of that language did not work in 2002. By the end of the year, Lott saw pressure mounting against him. The administration of President George W. Bush was trying behind the scenes to oust Lott, and Lott stepped aside. But there was never a formal move to relieve Lott of his duties. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA's prospective plantings report came out yesterday, and the all-wheat planted area for 2025 is estimated to be 2% lower than last year at 45.4 million acres. USDA's Patrick Boyle.
This is our second look at winter wheat planted acres for the 2025 crop. Acreage is down 2.3% from December survey and 0.2% compared to last season. That 33.3 million acres appears to be in line with recent years. Winter wheat acreage by state, a couple of record lows to report in California and Virginia. Switching gears now to other spring wheat, acreage is expected to be down 5.7% or 605,000 acres from last season. North Dakota and Montana, the two largest spring wheat states, both reported decreased spring wheat planting intentions.
If the overall wheat planted acreage is down 2% from last year, it would represent the second lowest all wheat planted area since 1919. As for corn planted acreage in 2025, it's estimated to come in at 95.3 million acres, up 5% from last year and above average pre-report estimates. Compared to 2024, planted acreage is expected to be up or unchanged in 40 of the 48 estimating states, including our neighbors, North Dakota and Idaho. I'm Lane Nordland. Have a great day.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great. I just heard from our friend Peter Christian with our sister station KGVO News in Missoula. Yesterday we had Jake Eaton, a conservative campaign consultant, join us later on in the 8 o'clock hour talking about this, the latest in the Soviet-style show trial against Attorney General Austin Knutson. And so great conversation with Jake Eaton. The full audio, of course, is on the Montana Talks podcast if you missed it yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour. But Peter also got a chance to catch up with the Attorney General himself because A.G. Knutson was in Missoula. He just sent me several sound bites and a full radio report, a full radio package. So I'll play that for you here in just a few minutes. But first, let's get into the phone lines here. Thomas in Billings, great to hear from you. What's going on?
How we doing, Aaron?
Oh, great.
This whole 10% raise for the Gallatin County commissioners, I hope it's an April Fool's joke, but they average make $180,000 a year, so that's little over $18,000 a year raise. I've never got an $18,000 a year raise. I think radio hosts need to have maybe an $18,000 a year raise. But all they're doing is sucking off the hard taxpaying citizens, the people that get up and go to work every day, because we're already paying for the people that don't go to work. So, yeah, let's pay Gallatin County and Yellowstone County and everybody else $18,000 a year raise. I don't get that kind of raise every year, but I have to pay for all these other people that don't work. And the Senate is even talking. I mean, I just sent Tom McGilvray a message. I said, this bill should not pass as far as this. I said, you guys have a surplus. We're the highest tax paying on income, and we're going to give Gallatin County a 10% raise?
Well, we're not. Gallatin County is giving themselves one. Yeah. With regard to the salaries for the Gallatin County commissioners, is it $180,000? I don't think it's that high for Gallatin County commissioners.
It's roughly that in the state of Montana. I mean, it can vary within a few dollars, but I mean, who cares? They're getting a 10% raise every day. I want Aaron Flint to have a 10% raise.
I hear you on that one. Well, our compensation committee, we're creating the compensation committee. Michael Foss is going to be the vice chair. I'm the chair. of the committee, and so we are going to give ourselves raises later today. You can rest assured. Why not 20%? What the heck? It's our committee. All right, Thomas, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's see. Yeah, I think if... Let's see, the Bozeman Daily Chronicle did have the salaries for some of the public officials here. I think they're closer to $100,000, the Gallatin County Commissioners. Where you really start getting into some of the higher salaries are with some of the city administrators and jobs like that. Wait, who was the guy, speaking of Gallatin County, was it the, remember the guy who was talking about his FU money? Now I need to pull that one up in the archives. The FU money guy. I think it was wasn't it the Bozeman City Administrator? He was trying to take some job down in Texas or something like that. Here we go. This was from about 1 year ago. Remember we had Mike Hope, a great local businessman and developer in Bozeman. He called into this show. He called on the city manager then 1 year ago to resign. The Bozeman city manager. Remember when they accidentally left their camera on? And he talked about getting a $500,000 a year job offer in Austin, Texas. But he mentioned how he wasn't taking. He had a job. Well. I don't know if he actually had the job offer or if he was considering, you know, taking a job in Austin, but it was $500,000 a year job, $500,000 a year. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not taking that job. I can't take that job because I'm close to having my FU money in Bozeman from the city of Bozeman. Think about that when you're driving over rainbow-colored crosswalks in Bozeman. And remember the guy who was talking about, well, I'd take that $500,000 a year job down in Austin, Texas, but I'm really close to getting my FU money from the taxpayers in Bozeman. And then you got the Democrat Gallatin County Commissioners voting to give themselves a 10% raise. Yeah, I'm philosophically aligned with that, Zach Brown said. Oh, for Pete's sake. It does. It sounds like an April Fool's joke, but I promise, even though it is April 1st, this is not an April Fool's joke. Although it does remind you of the Biden years when every day felt like an April Fool's joke. Holy cow. An idea that came in, Bob McGuire. Great to hear that Bob McGuire is listening in this morning. A longtime weatherman on TV in Billings. Great guy. But Bob McGuire, you just heard a report about the Supreme Court elections in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin there. And Bob says, hey, Becky Hillier, you know, she's an expert on Wisconsin politics. Yeah, that. You know, Becky joins us every Friday, but Becky, if you're listening in, you got some insight on these Wisconsin elections, give us a call because we got phone lines open, not just for Becky, but for you as well, 406-294-0970 if you want to jump in on the conversation. But yeah, a lot of attention on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race taking place today, and then there's a special election for a congressional seat in Florida this week as well. But what about Montana's Supreme Court? Obviously, thankfully, we've got a new Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. But unfortunately, the majority on the Montana Supreme Court is still a left-wing mob. Yesterday, I mentioned we talked with Jake Eaton, conservative political consultant Jake Eaton, about this Soviet-style show trial. This hearing that took place at the Montana Supreme Court. It was good to see some of the comments by the new Chief Justice, Corey Swanson. He basically talked about how the whole thing was just a mess. Let's play part of Peter Christian's report.
Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson was in the KGBO studio Monday taking calls from listeners and responded to two queries about the 41-count ethics complaint that was filed against him by the Commission on Practice. Responding to the first call, Knutson said the original complaint was filed back in 2021.
That goes back clear to 21. I said some particularly critical things of our state Supreme Court. which I am want to do. I mean, a lot of times I do think our state Supreme Court acts very politically, and I think they're very result oriented, and I say so.
Knutson referred to the case by using the humorous phrases a no-no and being naughty, which he said led to a hearing.
A lawyer in California didn't like that, and they thought that was a no-no and that I was naughty, and that I needed a 41-count ethics complaint brought against me for saying critical things of our state Supreme Court. That, according to this lawyer in California, was eroding the public's trust in the Montana courts. Our Office of Disciplinary Counsel held a hearing.
Knutson was highly critical of the hearing, calling it a kangaroo court.
It was kind of a kangaroo court. I'll just say it out loud. They didn't let me present evidence. They didn't let me refute several of their witnesses. They didn't let me, that they ruled on motions without giving me time to respond in writing, which happens in every court case. You get to respond in writing. They were rushing this thing through to get it done before the election. Yeah.
All right, let's hold it right there. More from that report and reaction from Attorney General Austin Knutson right after this. Phone lines are open for you if you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. I'll go check the messages on the Montana Talks app in the meantime as well. Oh, we got one from Randy in Fishtail.
Spring.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this is a story. I might save this one for later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But this is a story we definitely need to talk about today. This comes from the liberal Montana Free Press. Did you know they have an Indigenous Affairs reporter? A reporter that's supposed to cover Indigenous affairs. I think it's another white person, of course, but they probably get extra grant money if they call themselves an Indigenous reporter. Think about all of the major news stories that could and should be covered in Indian country, on our reservations. Think about over the last 4 years in particular, the Mexican drug cartels, the drugs, the violence, Tren de Aragua, the violent Venezuelan prison gang. Remember when there were the arrests in Belgrade and Bozeman, and then that same time frame, there were the arrests in Wolf Point, Montana, on the Fort Peck Reservation? Here's a headline from the liberal Montana Free Press. Frustrated with persistent violence, Fort Peck community members demand change. They're talking about the Fort Peck Reservation, not the town of Fort Peck, not the lake of Fort Peck. Anyway, whole story here. How many pages? This has got to be 6, 7, 8 pages long here. Whole big story about how the community is frustrated with persistent violence. Let me scroll through it again here. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything about drug cartels, southern border, illegal immigration, or even the northern border, Tren de Aragua. No, none of that. Not one mention. No mention of drug cartels, borders, illegal immigration, Tren de Aragua. Nothing. Yeah, we'll talk more about that story here a little bit later. You guys already know where we're going with this. Is it? Here we get again from the white reporters covering Indigenous affairs, whitewashing what the problem is and refusing to talk about the problem, which is the drug cartels, Tren de Aragua, all this stuff. Oh, no, let's just ignore it because it doesn't fit their narrative, because it doesn't fit their agenda. Look, we know why 1 year ago they wouldn't want to report that aspect of the story, because John Tester was up for re-election. And the Montana Free Press, like all the other liberal media outlets, had to cover for John Tester and had to do backflips to try to attack Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. That didn't work, obviously. But now they still have to cover for the Biden Tester invasion. They have to cover for the liberal federal judges that are refusing to allow these violent criminal illegal aliens to get deported. They have to they have to do what the most and the rest of the media are doing, which is to block President Trump for securing and defending this country from the illegal alien invasion that they allowed to happen in the first place. Oh, but they still need to cover the rally, the protest against the violence. They still need to cover that story on the reservation. So they have the white indigenous affairs reporter go cover the whitewashing of the story about the violence on the reservation. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I wonder how much money they get in grants and things like that from these left-wing foundations to cover indigenous affairs and then not cover actual the stories that could really actually help people in these communities. I know John Jackson's going to want to weigh in on that. I was getting his reaction yesterday via X. Also got reaction from Dan Bruner, the former FBI Hispanic gang expert that we'll share with you here a little bit later as well. Okay, this also goes back. I need to go back to this conversation about our left-wing Montana Supreme Court. And it's so absurd that they even allowed this Soviet-style show trial, this lawfare against our attorney general to continue for as long as it did. I mean, think about it. Like, part of what Jake Eaton and I talked about yesterday around 8:40 is, okay, so they had to have district judges travel to Helena to serve on this panel to review what the partisan hacks on the Office of Disciplinary Counsel. These are Democrat operative left-wing lawyers that put up the complaint against Attorney General Austin Knutson, that concocted this whole thing to tie into the election. They didn't give him his due process rights. It was the whole thing was a freaking sham. The whole thing was a kangaroo court. And then all this time, the Chief Justice is there. Another Supreme Court justice is there. District court judges had to drive to Helena. Think about all these things. These district court judges keep telling us, wow, we've got too many cases. We need more judges. And, oh, we don't have enough workers. But yet all the time in the world to allow this Soviet-style show trial nonsense. Now, it was important that they had the hearing on Friday because they had to finally put this thing to bed. It's just be like, okay, what a freaking joke. Real world problems, and yet, instead, what do these liberal judges do? What do these liberal appointees on the Office of Disciplinary Counsel that are put there by the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, what do? They waste your time with Soviet-style show trials against the Attorney General of Montana. They waste your time with, speaking of Soviet-style show trial, that's what the Held v. Montana climate change case was as well. Soviet-style show trial. It was a circus act to get Soviet-style regulations, Soviet-style controls to shut down the Montana economy. That's what that whole thing was all about. It was more than just a political circus. Anyway, so let's go back to Attorney General Austin Knutson. He was making the point with Peter Christian yesterday how, yeah, this whole thing was designed to interfere in the election, and even that didn't work. Just like the lawfare against Trump didn't work, the lawfare against Attorney General Austin Knutson didn't work either.
They were rushing this thing through to get it done before the election, candidly. Didn't work. I got elected by 20 points.
Knutson said the Montana Supreme Court heard his case Friday, March 28th, and provided this update.
The Supreme Court on Friday just heard my case. This was real judges hearing this. They were very concerned. They had some critical things to say about me as well, but I think they definitely had some concerns with due process and how the Office of Disciplinary Counsel handled my case. Not surprised they didn't rule on Friday. I mean, they're going to issue a written opinion. It's going to take them probably, at least a month or two to write what I suspect is going to be a pretty lengthy opinion.
Knutson said even if he loses his court case, he will still retain the office of Montana Attorney General. For KGVO News, I'm Peter Christian.
Now, that was the part that was so funny about this whole thing, is that, okay, so they simply, and we made this point at the time, the Democrats launched this whole absurd process because they were claiming that that basically they wanted his law license stripped away so that he couldn't appear on the ballot. And then eventually, even if he wins the election, so that he could be removed from office. They made that clear that that was their intent. But now, after the whole thing blew up in their face and they bungled the whole thing, now everybody who was there Friday, they're like, well, yeah, even if they say that he did something wrong by criticizing the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, well, he still gets to stay in office anyway. So again, all they wanted was a negative headline to try to make the attorney general look bad. And instead, it just made him look even better because the people of Montana see that he's fighting for you. He's fighting for us and against this uncontrollable mob in the Montana Supreme Court and elsewhere in our judiciary. That's why I was so pleased to see that one key piece of judicial reform is still alive in the Montana legislature. This is House Bill 838, which was introduced by Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage. This legislation would allow candidates for the Montana Supreme Court to run under a party affiliation, or they could run under a nonpartisan label if they want to as well. The bill would also, this is from a report by Micah Drew, the bill would also create a new primary system for Supreme Court candidates, putting all candidates on a primary ballot, regardless of which party the primary voter, which party primary a voter participates in. The top two candidates, regardless of party affiliation, would proceed to the general election. So this would allow voters to have more information about these Supreme Court candidates here. But of course, the Democrats and these left-wing judges will do everything they can to try to stop this from happening because they just want the elections to be decided by their Democrat Party mega donors, Planned Parenthood, and their out-of-state big money to come in here and boss Montanans around.
Fox News commentary.
Columbia grads rip up their diplomas to protest their alma mater complying with the Trump administration. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
I'm having what she's having. It's a quote from a 1989 film starring Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. Name the film.
E.T.
When Harry Met Sally.
You got it. When Harry Met Sally.
Either way you did, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
The usual suspects threw another tantrum over the weekend, this time protesting Columbia University leadership. They are, among other things, enraged at university leadership for allowing authorities to detain and potentially deport non-citizen pro-Hamas grad student Mahmoud Khalil. And for this particular protest, what looked to be about a dozen Columbia grads posed with handwritten signs and ripped up their diplomas. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if these alumni were the least bit horrified that their alma mater allowed months of anti-Jew and anti-Israel protests and intimidation on campus? But no, they're upset that a non-citizen was detained by ICE for allegedly promoting pro-Hamas propaganda on campus. Imagine being that twisted. You'd rip up your diploma over that. That whole institution is a circus. I'd highly recommend an SEC school. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see areas of snow and some mixed precipitation today across the Bozeman area, where 2 to upwards of 5 inches is possible by this evening. Otherwise, areas of rain, a little mixed precip as well towards Billings with no accumulation expected there. High temperatures from 38 in Bozeman and near 50 in Billings. Areas of snow and mixed precip tonight with lows in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. We know getting good sleep is essential for good health. But if you need another reason to catch more Z's, researchers say getting enough of certain sleep stages could affect your Alzheimer's risk. Researchers from the Yale School of Medicine analyzing sleep data from over 250 people, looking at how long they spent in various sleep stages. Then they compared those sleep cycles to MRI brain scans taken up to 17 years later. And they found critical regions of the brain were significantly smaller in people who get less deep sleep and dream sleep. The regions affected are known to undergo early changes in Alzheimer's. Researchers say more investigation into the relationship between sleep cycles and the progression of Alzheimer's is needed to understand the link. But previous studies have long highlighted a link between lack of sleep and poor brain health. The findings appear in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com.
Visit izervay.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, what the heck. John Jackson's here already. Let's mic him up because some of you guys, you know, you're driving to work here in the 7 o'clock hour. You're dropping kids off at school. And then maybe after 8, you might be tied up. You might be stuck in some stupid, pointless PowerPoint presentation meeting, you know? Now, John, you've never had that happen before.
Oh, my God. with some boss or some coworker that just drones on and on and on. And you keep staring at them like pointing at your watch like, dude, shut up. I've got to get out of here.
Oh, man. Some people just like to have meetings just to have meetings. They feel like they have accomplished. They could, you know, if all they did this week was do meetings and you asked them on Friday, hey, what'd you get done this week? Well, I had this meeting and this meeting and this meeting. No, what did you get done? That not how many meetings did you attend? Going to meetings is not getting stuff done. Sometimes having a meeting is how you get things done. But just the simple, you know, process of having a meeting is not doing anything. That's just wasting a lot of other people's time. Oftentimes, right? But some people, they love to have meetings. Because it's a way that they feel like, you know, they're important and they accomplished something. And it's like, no, all you did was pull all these other people out of the fight that they're supposed to be in right now.
You know, I got to where once I got to be senior and once I hit my KMA point, that's the kiss my ass point, in which you can retire like tomorrow, you're eligible to retire. That's what, you know, like I would have bosses just sit there and drone on and on and on. And I would just get up out of my chair and so because I got somewhere to go. I just and I remember this one guy, he would look at me like, is this meeting over? I said, yeah, it is, because I've got to be somewhere in 5 minutes.
You know? Yeah, I've got, I don't know, to be at the gym or whatever. Like, it's probably more important than that, but it's just like, my goodness, with all the things that everybody has to get done, that people that are actually doing work, and then you got some people that it's just like, well, hey, let's have a meeting. And then anyway, rant over on that one. But, man, we got a lot to talk about here this morning with the Joker coming up. I started scribbling down some notes. I mean, did you hear about this? The EPA had their own museum. The EPA has its own museum. Hey, kids, field trip. Where are we going? The EPA museum. Oh, can we do a meeting instead? Can we just have a meeting?
We've dedicated a museum to our nonstop screwing with the American consumer and their energy. This is how we have screwed up the American economy right here. We're so proud of it.
It's like, yeah, let's not take the millions of dollars to actually clean up some, you know, environmental messes and things like that. No, we're going to have a museum to the woke, the museum of the woke. Here is EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin describing the museum and how they're now going to save millions of our dollars.
If you were to visit the museum located here at EPA headquarters in D.C., you would learn a lot about the road to environmental justice and climate change. This museum claims EPA pursues its mission by advancing environmental justice, equity, and civil rights compliance. A timeline of key events conveniently omits any mention of President Trump's first administration. I'm currently standing inside of this museum, which was built and curated by the Biden administration with $4 million in taxpayer dollars.
All right, anyway, we'll have more on that report here later this morning. But, yeah, what do they claim is the biggest problem with the environment? Carbon dioxide. What happened during Trump's first term? He lowered carbon dioxide emissions. No mention of that.
$4 million of your taxpayer money to this worthless museum so they can pat themselves on the back for environmental justice, whatever the fudge that is.
That was just to start it. There were millions more to keep the thing up and running. I mean, but if you think about it, and it's in the EPA headquarters, which is what, in Washington, D.C.? There are so many museums. There's good museums you don't even have time to make it to in Washington, D.C., let alone this crap museum.
Who's ever been to that? Come on.
My goodness. Yeah, that's beyond nerd alert for that one. Golly.
It's April 1st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's April Fool's Day, and some historians claim it dates back to 1582 when France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, as called by the Council of Trent in 1563. Some didn't get the news that recognized the start of the new year had moved to January 1st, and those who still celebrated became the butt of jokes and hoaxes. Also on this day, in 1976, Apple Incorporated was founded by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne. It would later be known for several defining products like the Macintosh, the iPod, the iPhone, and the iPad. In 1963, soap opera General Hospital premiered, the longest-running serial program produced in Hollywood.
I love Laura Baldwin.
Take me, Luke.
Launching the famed fictional couple Luke and Laura into soap opera history. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.